All right. What kind of tree fits in your hand? A palm tree. What do you call a duck who gets straight A's? A wise quacker. And what did the science book say to the math book? Wow, you've got problems. Today we're going to be talking about the movie Up in our Faith on Film series, and we're going to be talking about the theme, Ready to Pivot. Changes always come about in life, and we always have to be ready to pivot. Carl and Ellie in the movie were childhood sweethearts. They grew up together, they married, they lived a grand life, and planned to go on these great adventures together. As things came up, though, the money that they had saved for these grand adventures had to be used for life's ups and downs. Eventually, Ellie grew ill and passed away, and Carl was left alone. He decided one day to follow their dream, though, and move his house to Paradise Falls, a place in South America. He was focused solely on that one goal until things started happening in his life that caused him to pivot. So he ends up taking his house via helium balloons that he puts up through the chimney that lifts up his house, and he flies that house to South America in our very realistic show here. And he gets down to South America and he realizes that he's got a stowaway. And the boy Russell has been hiding under his porch and is knocked on the door. And of course, he's not expecting anyone when he's flying across the city in the air to have someone knocking on the door. But Russell knocks on the door. And he has to do stuff with Russell and decide, what am I going to do with this kid who is stowed away here with me? So they end up traveling, and he's focused on his one goal. He wants to get his house to Paradise Falls because that's the goal that he and Ellie had since they were kids. But things come up, and he has to realize that he has to pivot. He has to follow the dreams, his new dreams, and realize that those old dreams are actually keeping him from his future happiness, from future joy, from finding joy. Once again, he has to give up his original dream of moving his house to Paradise Falls and follow his new dream of helping out Russell and the bird named Kevin. Carl's forced to make a choice. Will he follow his original dream or will he pivot and adapt? One man in the Bible who struggled with pivoting and adapting and finding a new path was Moses. Moses started off his life in a period of distress. He was supposed to be killed upon birth because all the Hebrew boys were supposed to be killed. But again, his mother saved him, put him in a river, and Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the river and saved him. Moses lived a privileged life, living as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Until one day he comes across a man and he murders him in defense of a Hebrew slave. Moses is forced to flee, and so he's forced to pivot. He's supposed to leave Egypt, the land that he knew, the land that he loved, and he went off to a well in Midian. When in Midian, he probably was dejected, thinking, I'm never going to be able to go back to Egypt. What am I going to do? Well, seven young ladies come to the well, and he defends their honor against some shepherds, and he goes back with the young ladies, and he meets Jethro. Jethro is the priest of the area of Midian, and Moses stays there and ends up marrying Zipporah, one of the daughters of Jethro. So things are going along fine. He's thankful for the aid. He's thankful for having a new family. He probably thinks his life is pretty well set. He's going to stay in Midian, live out his days as a shepherd. Things are going to go just fine. But Moses' original dreams of living in Egypt are a thing of the past. His original dreams of living in the palace are a thing of the past. But now God enters the picture, and Moses is forced to pivot once again. While Moses was tending the flocks, he saw a bush that was burning. And it was burning and filled with flames, but it wasn't burning up. And so God speaks to him through that bush and says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, I am here. He asks, who is this? And God says, I am the God of your father and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has revealed himself. And Moses is afraid because you're not supposed to look at the face of God. The Lord continued to speak to Moses and told him he was standing on sacred, holy ground. And And this is what the Lord tells Moses in that burning bush. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. So God just spoke to Moses, and Moses, who had his plan, he was going to live in Midian, live a long life as a shepherd. Now he's being told he's got to go rescue his people. Go back to Egypt, the place he never thought he was going to go back to. And God is saying, now you have to pivot. So Moses protests. He says, the people aren't going to listen to me. And God tells him his name. He says, I am is my name. And you will tell the people that I am has sent you, and they will believe you. And he tells them that when Pharaoh releases the people will be so thrilled that they're leaving that they're going to give them gold and silver and livestock. He guarantees Moses victory in this quest. Yet Moses protests again. This isn't his dream. This isn't his plan. He argues with God. He says, what if they don't believe me? What if they accuse me of being a fraud? And so God gives Moses the ability to do three miracles. He turns his staff into a snake and back again. He can give himself a skin disease just by putting his hand in his cloak. And he can turn water into blood. God is speaking to Moses in this burning bush that's not being consumed. He's just given him these two miracles, shown him these two miracles, given him power to do three, and yet Moses is unconvinced. Moses does not want to pivot from his original plan. Moses' plan for his life were too set in stone, and he's unwilling to adapt to God's plan. Moses says, well, I get tongue-tied. I can't speak very well. The Greek literally says that he labors to speak. And so God says, who created your mouth? Who created the ability for you to speak? But Moses still argues. He pleads with God, please send someone else. And that's when we see that the Lord gets angry with Moses. And Moses has tested and tried the patience of the Lord to the extreme. He agrees to have Moses go with his brother Aaron, the Levite. Aaron will speak for Moses, but Moses will perform the signs and wonders given by God. So Moses loads up the family and heads to Egypt to do as the Lord commanded. Moses and Aaron go to the people of Israel and they perform the miracles and the people are behind them. They believe that God has sent them deliverance. But when Moses and Aaron approach Pharaoh, instead of letting the Hebrews go, he gives them more work and makes it harder on the slaves that are already there. The people get angry with Moses and Aaron. Why did you come? Look at what Pharaoh's doing to us now. You're just making it more difficult. And Moses goes back to the Lord. Lord, why did you do this? Why did you make me pivot my plan? I was fine in Midian. Why did you bring me here? You're only making it worse for the people here. My people hate me now. But God reaffirms his promise to his people and tells Moses to stick it out, to go and approach Pharaoh once again. And here's a little detail that sometimes we skim over. But do you know how old Moses was at this point in the story? Does anybody remember? How old do you think Moses was? He was 80. That's right. He was 80 years old when he was told to pivot. 80! Do you think that at 80 years old, Moses' plan called for him to lead a revolution? Do you think at 80 years old, Moses' plan was to lead a nation? Do you think that was in his dream at that point? To go back and lead a nation and wander around the desert? No. He had his plans. He had his ideas. But God came calling and he had to pivot. As you know, Moses then brought the 10 plagues on the people of Egypt. He turned water to blood. He brought frogs, gnats, flies, a plague on the livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and finally the death of the firstborn son. At the death of the firstborn son, the people of Israel were permitted to leave. And in fact, what God had said happened. The people were like, please get out of here. Go, take your God and his power and get away. And they gave them silver and gold and livestock and said, leave. And Moses was finally doing it. He had finally pivoted. He was finally leading his people the way that God called him to lead. God was leading them with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. He was leading them to the promised land. But then the Egyptians changed their minds. And they attacked, they followed, they chased them. And the people of Israel were trapped by the Red Sea, as we all know the story. And they panicked. They yelled at Moses. This is what they said to Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Moses was getting reamed by his people because he pivoted and followed God's plan. And this time, instead of retreating into his old life and saying, you know what, you're right, I screwed up, we shouldn't have done this, he stepped into his new calling. And this is what he said to the people. He said, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Moses has finally accepted his calling. He has finally accepted the pivot that God called him to take. And God delivered them that day, parting the Red Sea and saving the people. Things, of course, were not smooth sailing from there, as we know, for Moses or the people. He made some mistakes along the way, as you would expect anyone to make mistakes when they're leading a people or making any decisions in life. Even when we find our new calling, we're still going to stumble. We're still going to make mistakes. So what dream for your life did you have? Think about fifth grade. They say if you follow your dream from fifth grade, that's where you'll find your most happy place. So what did you want to be when you were in fifth grade? What did you want to be when you grew up? A teacher? A nurse? Some of you got to think way back. A CPA? Okay. I've never heard anyone say they want to grow up and be a CPA before. That's a new one. Like numbers. That's a good reason. That's you too? All right. Financial planning? Good. Well, my dream at that time was three things. I couldn't decide between three things. I wanted to be a pastor, I wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to be a radio disc jockey. So I guess I got two out of three. And I guess, you know, my podcasts are online, so maybe that counts as the radio disc jockey. I don't know. But my dreams have changed along the way. You know, I certainly never in my original dreams picked up on a map and said, I want to live in Hayes, Kansas. Okay? I didn't even know Hayes, Kansas existed. Okay? But God made me pivot. He made me change. He made me go somewhere different. And we've been here for nearly 12 years now. And it's been great. And I wouldn't change anything that we've done over these 12 years because we pivoted and we've been following God. But even in that 12 years, we've been called at different times as a church and as a family to pivot. And to change and to adapt to different things. It's okay to do that. And it's okay to see that we're going to be filled with heartbreak and transitions and difficult times. But we need to be able to pivot and follow God's direction. Change is inevitable. growth is optional, is what John Maxwell said. So when the change comes, are you going to pivot? Are you going to grow? Or are you going to be stubborn and stay in your own ways and say, no, I'm not changing. I'm going to stick with this plan that I had, and I don't care. The rest of the world, who cares? I'm just going to stay focused on my one thing instead of pivoting, which is what something that we have to do. We have to be able to change and adapt and pivot. Moses had to make a choice to make, had a choice to make. He was slow in making that choice, but ultimately he made the choice and pivoted in the right direction. Carl in the movie had to do the same thing. If he hadn't have pivoted, Russell would have probably been killed, and Kevin would not have been saved. And it's always a good idea to save Kevin. He started on one path, focused on his lifelong goals, but then had to adapt. He had to pivot. Now, you guys all know that I like football. And in the world of sports, we're going to talk a little sports. ESPN just did a poll of coaches and players that are playing in the NFL, and they said, who are the best quarterbacks playing in the NFL right now? And then two best quarterbacks are my favorite two quarterbacks as well. Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. Number one and number two. Patrick Mahomes was one. Russell Wilson was number two. And if you've ever watched them play, they are masters at taking a broken play and turning it into something magical. And so I want to show you a couple of the plays, because I'm ready for football season. We're going to show you a couple clips from Wilson's magic and Mahomes' magic. They take these broken plays and turn them into something bit different.
Second and 10 as that Tennessee defense drops back. Has Long to try to make a diving attempt, and Mahomes who tiptoes inside the 10. Still not 10. Oh, what a run! Out of this world! Touchdown, Kansas City! It's four. And do the Rams keep going? Now that their game's going to mean a lot. Wilson's got space. Got nobody downfield, though. Making it up. Cue the circus music. Wilson throwing for Baldwin. Oh, my goodness, he caught it. And there goes Baldwin down the sideline. Vintage Seahawk play. Baldwin out of bounds inside the five. Unbelievable stuff.
Stop it. Oh. I mean, really, just stop it. Doug Baldwin was blocking on that play. Doug Baldwin's assignment on that play was to block the in guy. He was in no way, shape, or form supposed to be on the route. And Russell Wilson does the whole Russell Wilson thing. Well, he thought he was supposed to be on the route. He just runs around, and Wilson does it. He says, okay, I'm going to go down here. And then you just throw it up, and he out jumps.
Antoine
Bethea.
Said they haven't had the shots. They've had chances to take the shots.
Here's Mahomes out of the pocket, looking for somewhere to go, and he finds his man Watkins. Sammy Watkins takes it up to the 29.
Whoops.
Oh, a high snap off his shoulder, and now Wilson just trying to get it away. And wide open, making the catch is Tyler Lockett. And Lockett is inside the 20, and Tyler Lockett gets slung down at the 4-yard line. So a broken play, a snap that gets away, and Wilson makes the most of it.
Absolutely unbelievable, the difference. And watch the fact that none of the offensive linemen go downfield. So many times on a busted play like this, they will go down the field and lock it all alone. Everybody gets distracted on something like that. It's unbelievable, isn't it, Al? In playoff football, they were going to run a screen on the outside. They weren't even running a route.
So four examples of quarterbacks who had to pivot. They had to make a choice. That wasn't what they drew up on the game plan, I guarantee it. Snap over Wilson's head, not in the game plan. Okay? But they adapted. And in the world of business, you can see examples of companies that have pivoted and that have not pivoted. One company that didn't pivot was Toys R Us. They went bankrupt because they were not able to adapt to the online marketplace for toys. They kept investing in the brick and mortar, which is going away. Think about Netflix. Netflix pivoted in a good way. Do you remember how Netflix started? What their business model was? Does anybody remember? Yeah. Mailing DVDs. They mailed you DVDs in the mail when Netflix started. Some of the kids at the garage sale didn't even know what a DVD was. Okay, but Netflix pivoted. They saw that people were going to be streaming at home. They were going to have that ability. So they pivoted. And now they have 182 million subscribers to Netflix. They pivoted. They changed. They're still, I think you can still get DVDs mailed to you if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know why you would do that. But I guess you could. But they pivoted. And now they're even making their own content and winning awards. On the opposite side of the DVD rental thing, we have Blockbuster. Blockbuster at one time had over 9,000 locations worldwide. Do you know how many Blockbusters are around today? One. There's one Blockbuster. This Blockbuster is located in Bend, Oregon. So this is the only Blockbuster left. Disney Company is another business that has adapted. They've stayed true to their core values, but they've had to pivot. They've had to add things like Marvel and Star Wars and Pixar. What about BlackBerry? Anybody have a BlackBerry a few years ago? A BlackBerry phone? You still have a coworker that has one? So President Obama, he was a big believer in BlackBerry. He had BlackBerry. But at its peak, there were over 80 million users of BlackBerries as a phone. Now, they didn't adapt. They didn't pivot. They didn't go with the touchscreen technology. They didn't go with any voice recognition software. And Apple came and dominated the market. And then there's Amazon, a company that did pivot. They started in a garage as the world's largest bookstore. And now look what it's become. In some cities, you can order on Amazon and have it delivered in less than an hour. That's crazy that you can have delivery in less than an hour. You can get fresh produce. You can get pet food. You can get pet supplies, electronics, media. They have their own streaming service now. And yes, you can still even get books through Amazon. Okay, they've adapted. They pivoted. The point is, all of these businesses started with a simple dream. But as things changed, they realized they either had to pivot or die. And that's the choice we have to make. We have to pivot when things come our way that we're not expecting. We have to pivot as we see God calling us into different directions. Are you holding on to a dream so tightly that you're suffocating it and it's killing you? Are you holding on to something with such a grip that you're afraid that if you let go, you're just going to float away because you don't know what is going to happen? It can be very scary to change your dream. Sometimes we don't have a choice. We have to pivot. Something happens and we have to pivot. But sometimes it's just the good choice to pivot and make that decision. Moses was 80 years old when he pivoted. Carl in the movie Up was 78 years old. You're never too old to start a new chapter in your life. Even here in Hayes, Nola Oaks graduated from Fort Hays State University with a general study degree with an emphasis on history in 2007 at age 95. She went back to school and got her bachelor's. 95! She went on to get her master's degree at age 98. Do you think you're too old to pivot? No. If you have a pulse, what do I always say? If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. So check your pulse. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. You're never too old. You're never too young. You're never too anything to pivot and follow God's direction for your life. Don't get stuck in your current path so ingrained in doing the same thing day in and day out that you're not able to pivot and change to the way that God has called you to do. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." And that applies to everyone, no matter the age, no matter the gender, no matter anything. God has a plan for you. And don't worry about tomorrow because God is already there. And don't get trapped in today so much that you can't see how tomorrow could change if you just are willing to pivot just a little bit. We have to be willing to change and adapt and to pivot to follow God's ultimate plan for our life, to find our happiness, to find that joy that God has called us to do, Sometimes he calls us to pivot. Will you have the courage to pivot when God calls you to pivot?
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.